Basma on Business is sponsored by Clifton Larson Allen CPAs. The views, opinions, or advice offered by this show's host do not necessarily reflect those of News Talk 780 KOH or its parent company, Cumulus Media. This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Basma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Basma, sponsored by Clifton Larson Allen CPAs. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH and KKOH.com.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Basma, your business savvy CPA. Yes, indeed. Taking care of your business, my business. You know, when people say, Basma, mind your own business, I say, you might want to let me get into your business just a skosh, maybe help you out a little bit. Today is no different. Of course, each and every Saturday, we bring to you 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. One of the things that we want to do today is kind of talk about, if you've ever had that idea, if I can get me and my friends together and hold a convention, what that's going to look like. And, of course, the co-host of today's show, my long friend and trusted advisor, Mr. James Kalicki, CPA Esquire. Jamie, how you doing?
Really good. Thanks, Mike.
So, Jamie, what's percolated in legal land? I would imagine tax reform's on everybody's mind. You know, you're a state and trust attorney, one of the best in the country, nationally recognized for what you do. Anybody doing estate planning anymore? Are they just waiting to see if there's going to be an estate tax?
Yeah, it's really, really challenging right now. At the beginning of the year, there's a lot of my clients that were interested in doing some work. Some of them said, we want to wait till the end of the year, which I thought was kind of far-fetched
right
earlier in the year. But now,
now we know why.
Now it looks like something might happen. And so, obviously, a lot of people that have are close to taxability are holding off, and that's my recommendation. I wouldn't do anything right now until we see what really is going to, how this thing is going to work its way out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's I've got a couple of legacy C corporation clients, and tax reform is particularly in C corporation land. Talked originally back in the Bush administration. Of course, everybody said, "Well, you're just trying to help all your rich friends." And Obama started talking about it and saying, "Hey, we got one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world, and nobody actually pays the rate." Article came out a number of years ago. The Wall Street Journal kind of wrote about GE's tax rates, and they're like, "Why are, you know, if the tax rate's 35%, why are they only paying, you know, 20% ish?" And so we hire people like me to help navigate it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people criticize that, but I oftentimes have to just go home and look at my wife and say, "That's exactly what I do.
That's what I
That's
do.
That's my right. job right. is to make sure that I do the best I can to make sure my clients are paying as little tax as they possibly can."
Of course, the Honorable Judge Learned Hand, one of my favorite quotes, when he said, "We are under no patriotic duty to pay more taxes than we ought." So. Anyway, we do have the phone lines open, 852-8255, 1-800-564-KKOH. If you've got questions on tax form or anything, you can give us a call and give us some free advice. And in fact, right now, I was at a conference earlier this week, and with Clifton Larson Allen, of course, they bring all their great minds together from the National Tax Office, like, "Hey, this is stuff we need to be doing now if this thing passes, because we won't have time to get that stuff done by the end of the year if it goes." And talking, you know, thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars of change, if, you know, particularly if you're a C corporation going from 35% to 20%. Basically what that means is you got to stuff this year full of deductions. Well, obviously there's ways to do that legally.
Right. But also all the suggestion that they're going to reduce the tax on the flow-through entities.
Well, yeah. Well, and same thing is, right? So if your effective tax rate now is 39.6, top marginal tax rate for individuals, and then all of a sudden you get a haircut on that, only pay 25%, you're like, okay, well, that means I'm going to throw everything, including right. the kitchen sink, at this year. That sometimes that includes purchases, making taking advantage of the bonus depreciation, Section 179.
Or even recognizing income, so this year, advancing it, because they'll be at a smaller rate.
Well, but this year, it's 2017, it's going to the tax rate's going to be lower next year mm-hmm. than this year, right?
So we'll see.
Well, I mean, under both proposal, House and Senate proposals, they're talking about ratcheting, particularly for business owners. Both House and Senate came back and said, "Hey, we're going to give business owners a reprieve on taxes, so that way just a C corporation is not the only beneficiary of this tax reduction. So that, like I said, there's things you can't make that happen. It's probably going to, if it passes, it'll probably pass either last week of December or January, and you're going to wish you'd kind of made you'd done these things.
And what are you going to do? Nobody knows what it is.
Well, yeah. So, but that's where in all events, people are like, well, it makes sense to get those deductions happening now because we know. I think I will say taxes are not going up next year. So that means they're going to be the same or they go down. So if you're at the top marginal tax rates, it makes sense to throw everything at this year, 17. So, you know, it's just as I always explained to a client, Jamie, they sold a portion of their business. They've got about $400,000 of income in the 39.6% bracket. And I was like, now that they don't have employees because they sold the business, I said, well, let's do a defined benefit program for you, get you enough salary so that we can max it out. And the amount that she and her husband can put into retirement this year
right.
because of this planning, $400,000.
Right.
So it's like, that's how you make the magic happen. And so you're saving that 39.6.
Right.
So that's what you do. So anyway, in studio, each and every week we bring on different entrepreneurs and kind of learn about their journey. So in studio, of course, is a couple from Cowboy Con. You might have heard Comic Con. This is a little bit of a spin on that one. I got Terry Robinson, president, and James Perry, who's a broker at Caldwell Bankers. So first and foremost, Terry, welcome to Bosmon Business.
Thank you, Bob.
Mike. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
No, that's right. Mike.
So Terry, how'd you get this business started? If I ran into you, I guess I'd say in a bar, it'd be if I ran into you at the rodeo, and I said, "What's your business?" What would you say?
Actually, we came across the idea. We were trying to bring the filmmakers of Western television and movie uh-huh. industry to Reno and Nevada, and I started thinking of planning a Western TV and Film Expo, and anyway, it kind of grew and grew, and we started it kind of small, and now it's Cowboy Con, and it just took off. We had about 3,500 people, excuse me, this year.
Okay, and so this year was your first year?
First year. We did it out of pocket, practically.
Okay, so how much did that cost? You say, hey, I want to throw a party for all my cowboy friends.
It probably close to about 50,000, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, right. You're a good friend to have.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
Okay, I got you. So you funded it. And how did you decide what kind of business structure to get into?
Actually, I went and talked to a tax person, and he took and kind of guided me into the S-Corp idea. And we went from there.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, in fact, that person that you talked to, a very talented CPA, Kurt Orgel, principal with me at Clifton Larson Allen. So, Kurt, of course, when I merged into CLA at the beginning of this year, Kurt was a partner with Galena, the firm that I was going to merge into, and then Galena got merged into CLA. And of course, Kurt and my background, we go back 25 years. Wow. He actually was the partner in charge of the tax department for Deloitte & Touche, that's now Deloitte. Deloitte & Touche back when I got hired and brought to Reno, so he was a big reason I came to Reno. And then he had toggled away from Deloitte by the time I started. But I remember driving around in Kurt's Jeep back in 1993. You guys, dates me. But driving around in Kurt's Jeep in 1993, him showing me houses. And Kurt's a great guy, and I was like, going, Kurt, I can't afford any of these houses. They were expensive back then. So, of course, today no different. But yeah, so okay, so Kurt kind of said, hey, we'll get you into the S-Corp, and throw $50,000 at it. And how did it come out? I mean, what did you learn from that first year?
It was a lot of work. We had a lot of people volunteering to help. Some of them didn't show up at the last minute, and my great partner here, Steve Mailer, and I and Jim pulled it off. And it was a struggle. I was at a dead run practically for all 3 days.
Okay.
This year we've decided to make it quite a bit bigger because we've expanded it and we have board of directors and everything. And so now it's going to be a 10-day event.
A 10-day event.
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to start on the 19th and the last day will be the 29th.
Of what month?
Of July of next year.
July, okay. So, and how'd you pick this window?
Well, Chuck and I wanted to be before Hot August Nights, after the rodeo, and there wasn't a lot of things going on that would bring in outside people from out of the area. We have Art Town going on during July, but there was no other big events, and then we have Night in the Country after that, and a couple okay. of other.
Well, we do have the Barracuda Championship, I think, in the same window. Actually, so there's a lot going on, and mm-hmm. you kind of found a slot and jumped in.
Right, and then we also kind of partnered with they're called the Cowboy Fast Draw Association with Cal Eldridge.
Okay.
And so we set up our own like shooting gallery right there in Cowboy Con last year, and people for $5 could come up. They strap a holster on you and teach you how to use the fast draw light, timing lights and everything. And so they did that.
Now, do you get to shoot people or just target?
No, it was a target, and it was timed to the hundredth of a second.
Okay.
And it was probably one of the biggest hits at Cowboy Con. It was a steady line of people wanting to try the Cowboy Fast Draw, and they, of course, signed up quite a few people. This year, it's a four-day event, the Cowboy Fast Draw, and it's actually the state and regional championship, so that will take place. And then we have our superstar country and western concert in the Grand Theater.
Jamie, I could just see there's the business model here is, that business advisor that just really got you sideways, didn't pay their bill. I think we have the quick draw, put a target on their chest, decide whoever gets shot has to pay the bill. Okay, what we're doing is we're talking about Cowboy Con. Of course, our phone lines are open, 852-8255. You got some questions on tax reform, what you need to do now to plan for it. Phone lines are open, 852-8255. It's Bosma on Business, News Talk 780, KWH.
Got a business question? Grab the phone and call Mike right now at 852-TALK or 800-564-KKOH. Bosma on Business from News Talk 780 KOH. You're listening to Bosma on Business. EIB approved. Rush Limbaugh's Week in Review, Sunday at 9 a.m. on News Talk 780 KOH.
Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. In studio, I've got a couple wranglers, little wrestlers. Terry Robinson, president of Cowboy Con. And James Perry is a broker with real estate agent with Coldwell Banker. James, how are you tied into this thing?
Well, I'm a member of the executive board. I started last year getting a booth at Terry's Cowboy Con.
You get a booth and look where that'll lead.
Promoting a ranch that was protecting the wild horses.
Okay.
So it was. It seemed to me it would be a perfect segue into helping him. When I saw the effort that he had put in and wasn't getting a lot of support, I said, I need to help him make this business grow.
Awesome. Well, and so it was fascinating. You were talking before, Terry, about you got somebody to kind of put up land as kind of collateral for a loan. The structure issues just are all over the place because, one of the things that I want to just flash on, I get James Klicky, who is an attorney and overall swell guy and handsome.
I'll agree to that.
Yeah.
At least he's not blind.
No. I think I'm seeing things clearly, Jamie. So, but Jamie, as soon as you get into that world of, hey, you put cash into my organization, even if it's a convertible debenture or here's straight up for stock, sounds like the SEC is going to get involved potentially. What are the rules?
Well, you just have to be aware. And for these are small offerings. There's exemptions that you can work under so you can make small private offerings. But you have to follow the rules. And if you don't, you can get into a lot of trouble.
Right. No, the offering documents everything. And that's where, so you said, James, you only take money from sophisticated investors. So does that mean only accredited investors?
Well, actually, Eric Stevenson's handling all of that for us with Prime Target Media, and he's already done all of the legal aspects of it to set up the corporation so that we can do this.
Anyway, so who's the attorney on it?
Eric has an attorney that's that we're working with, but
okay.
It hasn't come up in our board meeting yet.
I get you. My two cents, Jamie, you can weigh in, is make sure that you have an attorney on retainer.
We do.
Because there's attorney-client privilege and, you know, to make sure that, hey, that you're covered there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, you absolutely have. I just remember, Mike, when I got into law school, and I was going to be a securities lawyer, by the way, they just scare the heck out of you. Like, the SEC's around the corner all the time. There's no doubt that when you're doing these small private arbitration, you have to be in compliance. You have to be within one of the exemptions from registration. But it's most of these small companies are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not offering to very many people. And you're right. You got to be offering to accredited investors. And it's really the onus is on the company to make sure that they are doing that.
Right.
So you can't say, well, he told me. He was making a lot of money, or he had so much wealth.
Right. Wealth.
You actually have to make sure that that's true.
So yeah, and that's where there's a document that they sign saying, mm-hmm. hey, I'm gonna, you know, I've got this much disposable income, this much wealth, and that way it shifts the burden from you to them.
Right.
Right. If something happens, and you just, and basically, guys, my two cents is you always want to assume it's going to go up in a flaming blaze of glory,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. It just, you know, you always have the best of intentions, but you have to plan for the worst.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like if that happens, you just want to make sure nobody's upset about it.
And then right now we're also just working under a founder's type of setup,
mm-hmm.
where we haven't issued any stock yet. There's no stock exchanged yet. Eric's been very careful in all of the different organizational type of tasks.
Okay.
Setting it up, and then, but everybody that we're already working with is, you know, somebody that is a relative or friend.
Well, I guess we call it the friends and family round.
Friends
one of the
family.
Most common ways that capital is raised, but. But again, guys, it's just when, and I don't know Eric, it sounds like an advertising guy, marketing guy.
Well, he's been in the industry for probably 40-some years.
My only two cents is, right, is what we do is we just try and help people. Right,
right. Right. No, I appreciate it.
And so it's like you want to make sure you get the legal part of that, you know, dialed in.
Correct.
And that's just, because one of those things we call it, you don't know what you don't know. And
that's
so that's
correct.
Where, like, you walked in, talked to Kurt, how do I get the tax thing going?
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a step beyond that. How do I, now I need to raise capital. I need operating funds, and you want to make sure that, I'll just get anecdotally, I'll give you an example. So mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine, you know, a buddy, and, you know, she went out, she was building some buildings and kind of went out to her friends and family, and they lent her the money. It was all collateralized by, you know, by the real estate that she was building. And then things started going a little south in the economy, right? And then they said, well, gosh, we want an accounting of, you know, where's our money gone? And so then they, of course, what happens, right? That's when it blows up, because then she gives them the accounting. Here's the profit and loss statement, balance sheet, and they're like, well, gosh, look at how much money you're paying yourself.
Right.
And she's like, well, I'm a general contractor. You got to pay me to build the buildings, guys. They're like, well, we didn't think it was going to cost that much.
Right.
And with the benefit of hindsight,
right?
You know, Mike, I'll tell you, in every single startup, that is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, there is somebody that's got to do some work, but all the money, people want you to do it for free.
Right.
And so if you take out even a reasonable amount of money, it really is a cash drain on the investment. It's really hard.
Right. And that's why you have that paper on the front. I mean, Harvey Whittemore, okay? I mean, Harvey Whittemore at one time, one of the state's most powerful people. Right, lobbyists for all the gaming entities. He got sideways with the owners of the pepper mill for the same thing. Right, it's all a matter of public record. All of a sudden, they're just like, you're flying the plane. Where, back? You know, and then everybody's suing each other and blah, blah, blah. And so so that's what I'd say. You know, anecdotally, it's like one of those things. Like, hey, we want to make sure that, you know, before you take a penny, that it's papered and that the attorney signed off on it. But that's kind of expensive, so that's kind of like, how do you fund that? But it's
right.
Ultimately, my experience is some of the best money you'll ever spend when you're spending other people's money. There you go.
Right, and that's exactly where our initial investment went, so that we set up the structure correctly. So our next step now is to, you know, get those 300 booths
get them
filled.
Funded, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. So
one of the other...
go ahead.
Just jump in here. One of the other avenues of income for the corporation was we we took my television and movie production business and we brought it over and made it a solely owned subsidiary to CowboyCon. And so we had about seven different television and movie productions in the can. And so we're actually going to start putting those back on the air, selling the 30-second commercial spots that are in those television shows, so that we can go ahead and help fund CowboyCon, the mother.
Right. So, and that's where just one of the things, again, you just want to be cognizant, mindful of, is when you put assets in, and so when you put all those, you know, those shows, you know, those are all intellectual or intangible property. But anytime you put property, tangible or intangible property, into a corporation, it's easy to get it in, by and large. It's Section 351 of the Internal Revenue Code, where as long as you've got 80% of people playing, you can get it in tax-free, so you don't have to, you individually don't have to pay the gain on that. And the problem is when things don't go the way you thought they were, then you've got to get them out, and they always come out, and they're taxable when they leave the corporation. Mm-hmm. So that's where a lot of times, as you're getting, for you startup entrepreneurs out there, when you're looking at getting your company and your basically affair set up, don't put the assets in until you've got commitments on the funding. That'd be my two cents. So it's just
or just make sure you're checking your business structure.
Right. Yeah. Because that's where a lot of times you can get there through an LLC structure with a licensing agreement over. So that way they have the rights to it without actually putting the assets there. Then again, if things don't go the way you hoped, or you get your quick draw contest and somebody puts a gun in or a bullet in the gun. Shoot somebody. I don't know. You know,
but
I can't
well,
get off it.
Stuck on that.
He's like a dog in a bone.
He just can't stop it.
No, it's like it just isn't going to happen.
But that's where I guess so that way you can have a licensing agreement over, so you have the same access to the same intellectual property
like we've done before.
Right, but then it doesn't if something doesn't go right, you can pull that basically cancel the license agreement. So,
sure.
How do you see these things set up, Jamie? You deal with these every day.
Well, I there was a preference for people to use the corporate structure if they're going to be raising money, because you could just have stock and you can move stock around.
Right.
But recently, what I like to see, Mike, is on this when we're beginning to use the LLC structure as we're starting, and if later on, if we're actually going to go to more of a public offering where the C corp is more preferred at that point, which is for so many companies is almost unattainable. But if you get there, convert the LLC to C corp and then play that game there. But before that, having that LLC structure is so much easier to work with.
Flexible, right?
And those assets can go in and out without the taxability.
Right. That's the thing. It's called a preferred return. So a lot of times the other flexibility you have in the LLC world is you can put the capital in so it doesn't count as debt against you, but you can still have a preferred return. So I put $100,000 in. I can say, okay, I want a 12% preferred return. And if we sell this thing to ABC or whoever, for bazillions, you still have warrants on that. So just, James, just like you were talking about the convertible debt, you have all the functionality in the LLC as well. And then the thing I really, really, really like is the ability to kind of navigate income wherever you want.
Right.
You don't have to put people on payroll. In fact, originally this tax reform bill that came through, if go to my Facebook page if you want my summary on things you need to do, because I like to be liked, so like me. That's Mike Buzma on Facebook. Take a look at that summary. But one of the things that they originally proposed was the only reason that people are S corporations is for self-employment tax. So that way, but they were going to take that whole loophole out, but it got quashed in an amendment to the House bill. So there's still some definite benefit on that part of it. Although when I was at my national tax training this week, I found this very cool way that's just genius. I love being around smart people, to be able to take out the self-employment tax problem in LLCs. Have you ever heard of that, Jamie?
No.
So basically what they did is there's an IRS has a ruling out that, talk about arcane. It's buried in the rulings, but it's true. So basically, let's say that me and my beautiful bride, Jill, decide we want to start a business. And what we do is we have two different types of interests in our LLC. We have the managing interest and then the non-managing interest. And basically, you get a guaranteed payment for the managing interest. And that's subject to self-employment tax, but you can make that as small as you want, like say 2%. And then you can have the other 98% not subject to self-employment tax. And I'm like, Didn't know that was a thing. So I'm like, okay. So then you could quash as, you know, basically, and you have the simplicity of the LLC filing requirements.
Right.
I thought, wow, genius. Like I said, I like being around smart people. And that's, you know, some of the things that you can do, you know, even, Jamie, you mentioned, you start off the LLC, there's a state reincorporation that you can do, as you're very well aware, to get that to, so it's the same entity. That's the key, right? Because you don't want to have new employer identification number, new contracts. You want to have a reorganization under state law to make that you're the same entity. You're just now a corporation instead of the LLC.
And that's not hard to do.
Right. So, no, good times. Let's do this when we come back. We're going to talk about the number one thing when you're starting your own trade show, your own cowboy con. The big takeaway on kind of what you need to be thinking of, be mindful of. It's next on Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.
Need one-on-one advice? Schedule a complimentary one-hour consultation with Mike and his team of advisors at 775-786-4900. Bosma on Business from News Talk 780 KOH. This is Bosma on Business. Hear the guru of the good life, Dave Preston, on Weekend Magazine later this morning at 11 on News Talk 780 KOH.
Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, talking about CowboyCon, kind of an interesting idea that its founder, Terry Robinson, came up with, and trying to get more people to the Northern Nevada. So, you know, Terry opening up to a 10-day event in July, talking about kind of that journey. What's your biggest challenge you've run into so far?
Sponsorships.
Right.
With the incorporation, we also had to try to figure out a way to draw in founder investors, and we're just starting to get some of them, and we've using Jim Perry's advice and stuff, we've actually brought in some property and some real property, and then also my television movie productions and our studio space.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that. So, like, how much does a sponsorship cost? What do you get?
We have sponsorships start at about $35,000 for a national sponsor, like Dodge, Wrangler, or Air Rat Boots, all the way down to the mom and pop local level, where we have them right at about $1,000.
Right. Because isn't that the challenge? I mean, so you had 3,500 people show up last year. And for $3,500, I'm not going to write a $3,500 check. You know, it's a buck a person, and not everybody's going to buy what I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, typically you got to show, hey, we're going to attract, you know, tens of thousands of people to really kind of get the big sponsorship dollars, kind of the chicken and the egg thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get the interest before you get the attendance?
Well, I got a good group of people together, and one of our leading people is a lady down in Las Vegas. Her name is Jackie Baskow, Baskow Associates, and she thought of the idea of doing this country and western music concert at the very beginning, which if we fill up the theater with a good entertainment, we'll be able to draw in about 16,000 people.
Okay. Well, yeah. So any idea on who that headliner is going to be?
Well, they're talking about just Jason Aldean or Keith Urban.
Okay,
Keith Urban, I'll go.
Okay, yeah. Keith Urban. Okay,
she's pretty much taking care of that.
I just kind of had that flash. It's like you're gonna bring in Jason Aldean to a gun show.
No. Whatever.
I mean, I'm like, what? It sounds like something I would think of.
No, actually, Cowboy Con is specifically not a gun show. We don't have all of our firearms are either props, or we do have the cowboy fast draw thing going on.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Jamie. Jamie.
Yeah, I don't think he signed up for that. He'd pass on that one.
You know, it's just like shooting fish in a barrel.
the GSR has been very kind to us.
Okay.
After the shooting event down in Las Vegas. And one of the things that we're preaching is that this is an entertainment venue. This is not any kind of a swap meet or any guns will exchange hands, or we won't have any sale. There won't be any live ammunition in the building at all. This is just strictly an entertainment.
Okay, actually, very family friendly.
Oh,
hold on a second. So now I'm thinking about it as I get my mind going, as I get my mind around this thing. Mm-hmm. So, Jamie, I'm thinking it's like, you know, in tragedy in Las Vegas, obviously, Mandalay Bay, that, you know, the guy goes basically crazy and decides, I want to shoot a bunch of people. But if this were a gun show, or, you know, let's say it's this, you know, you've got where everybody's carrying a gun, the chances are, like, if I'm going to go shoot people, I'm probably not going to shoot at that group because they're going to shoot back. Right?
Yeah, maybe. This is, like I said, this
that's
is
the NRA argument.
This is all television. There's no any kind of modern weaponry at all. This is all antique or vintage firearms used for Western movies. I mean, this is Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, Hopalong Cassidy, Lone Ranger. I mean, this isn't. This isn't Sylvester Stallone doing some kind of a AK-47 type thing. This is wholesome entertainment.
This is very much a family deal,
and it's all promoting the cowboy way of life.
Right. Okay. So cool. No, cool. Like I said, had a little schism in my head there. Like,
yeah, a lot of people take that detour.
Well, I can't help it.
Yeah. I understand.
So, okay, cool. And kind of what's the budget this go around? How many people do you think are going to get into this thing?
Right now, Eric Stevenson, who is our Secretary Treasurer, has projected everything out. And with all of the entertainment that people, the stars were bringing in, we had quite a few of the characters, casting characters from Tombstone, Deadwood, Hell on Wheels last year.
Oh, fun.
We're going to have our chili cook-off, the cowboy poetry, because they're leaving Genoa area.
And oh, they are? Okay.
They're going to come here. So we're going to end up with, we're shooting for between 25 and 30,000 people this year.
Okay. Well, that'd be a great turnout. So
yeah.
We wish you luck. Of course, Jamie, what I hear is, you know, any startup that's taking money on the front end, right, advanced sales, and of course you need cash to be able to fund the thing, but, you know, how many times have you heard, you know, where the organization goes belly up, or, you know, and there's nothing left, right?
Right. I mean,
so how do you counsel on something like that?
Well, you know, I think on the front side, when you have the opportunity to, there's a plethora of ways you can raise money, and some of it, I think whoever's going to be moving forward with the company needs to understand what those things are. Some of them are, you know, pretty recourse. They come against you, but some of them aren't. And I think a lot of it depends on the idea. So, Mike, you're involved in the angel group around here. Then there are groups like that that will fund startups.
Right. Well, I was thinking it's like a Kickstarter campaign where you're like, hey, you know, fund or GoFundMe, where that
the crowdfunding.
The crowdfunding.
Where that way, like, something like this would be excellent.
Something like that where you can say, okay, well, at different levels. But because I would just have to imagine a significant pushback you're going to get is, how do I know that you're going to pull the event off? Right, and so it's just like, no, hey, we, you know, do a Kickstarter GoFundMe campaign, and that way that money sits there until you deliver, and that's kind of how they're protected, as it were, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, you know, hey, we're there, but their money's committed, so that way, and usually you can borrow against that, so that way you say, hey, it, you know, everybody's less at risk as you get these things going, so that, yeah, and especially something like this, perfect, because that's where you can really kind of tie into the people that are passionate about this genre.
Mm-hmm. Jim Perry's had some brilliant ideas as far as bringing in real property and also backing the stocks with.
You mentioned that. How does the real property tie into this thing?
Well, I started out with Terry about 20 years ago as doing little films for my real estate business, and I decided that let's use some real estate assets to build up the balance sheet for this company.
Okay.
And so what we're doing is we're finding some assets in other areas where we're going to be able to utilize, say, an asset that's worth $3.5 million, borrow $1 million against it with shares of stock in our company, and then utilize those shares as convertible debentures. I know that gets a little complicated in how it works, but there's two ways to do that, either convertible debentures into shares once it goes public, or into cash by by selling those shares at that time.
Okay, so and that shares in the company, CowboyCon?
Yes, right.
Okay, so but I guess riddle me this, because typically S corporations are very limited in the types of shareholders they can have. And so what was Kurt's opinion on, hey, we got, you know, if you issue these things to a non-qualified shareholder, you're going to lose your S status?
We have to stick with pretty much sophisticated investors. And we pretty much most of them are friends, relatives. We haven't had a lot of people that we're not actually out soliciting, you know, people that want to buy into the company. And everybody that hears about it knows one of us. And next thing we know, we have people that are willing to invest. And we have the property value, the property to back some of this.
Yeah, and who put in the property?
A real estate landowner.
Okay, all right. Awesome. All right. Well, let's do this, Jamie. I want to talk about some of the kind of legal ramifications about, you know, just, you know, protecting your interest. And there's some SEC rules to kind of go along with it. Mm. How to raise money when you're trying to get your CowboyCon off the ground. And also, like I said, phone lines open 852-8255. If you get some tax questions or year-end planning, what do you need to do to, in the event that tax reform happens? It's Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA on Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.
We're getting Northern Nevada back to business. This is Bosma on Business from News Talk 780 KOH. You're hearing Bosma on Business. When it doesn't make sense, sometimes you have to yell a little. Mad Dog Mason, weekdays at 3 on News Talk 780 KOH.
Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. You know that last promo on Dan Mason's show, he's a good egg, but I love the tagline, you just need to yell a little. Right, Jamie?
Right.
Right. You know, sometimes you just got to smash the keyboard. We cry because we care. We scream because we care.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Anyway, it's Bosma on Business. We're talking about CowboyCon. It is happening next year, July 19th through the 22nd.
29th.
And really looking to generate tens of thousands of visitors to the area. So thank you. Hopefully the governmental part of that is cooperating. I think it's a great win. It kind of goes with a kind of Wild West theme. And, you know, one of the things I love about living in Northern Nevada is, you know, like especially this time of year, you just go drive up around in Damani Ranch and there's wild horses wandering around, you know. So very, very blessed. I tell people that and they just can't even believe it. You know, so one of the things we do each and every segment, or each and every show, I should say, is leave our listeners with a number one thing. So Terry Robinson, founder of CowboyCon, put a lot of your own skin in the game to get this thing going. I applaud you on that. But I know you have to have that big aha moment. Like, if you had it to do over, what do you need to know?
Boy.
Yeah, it's a big ask.
Yeah. The aha moment came when I realized that you can't do this alone.
Right.
And everything from the legal aspect to the corporate part, the tax part, and even my own team that I've assembled. We have a great team, and everybody does their job and does it well. And everybody's skilled in whatever particular part of it. And we depend on every part of our team. And like I said, we just get everybody to do their job.
If we could just get everybody to do their job. No, but you got to have the bodies, right? No, very,
yep,
very,
right.
Very good takeaway. So James, I already know your big takeaway. Don't set up a booth unless you want to get recruited. No. what's your big takeaway? What do you think? Who's getting this thing going? What would you do differently, or what was the thing that was genius make this thing a reality?
Well, the genius was the actual idea from Terry, and take it from just an idea to this great production that we're planning here. What I would do differently is start the planning sooner.
Right.
I mean, even though we had the idea from the day after, we weren't able to get all the structure and everything going on for a couple of months on down the road. So start planning immediately.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's a great point because I'm on the board for the Rio Ontario Open Foundation, otherwise known as the Barracuda Championship, and people are like, oh, well, it's a golf tournament over a week, right? Well, no, it takes a year to make that event happen, a full year. And it's hard for people to get their mind around, but you guys are living that right now. Jamie Clickie.
Well, I was involved in something like this with the Forte Awards.
Okay.
That just kind of happened a couple of weeks ago, and they're gaining some popularity. But you know, it's a nonprofit that is designed to recognize local talent, music talent, and comedic and all the arts,
right,
all the
right.
arts. It's a fantastic. And again, it was very much the brainchild of one person, and I was involved early on in those conversations. And it's amazing that this gentleman was able to get it off the ground. But one thing I learned about it was that early on, what he did is he called a round table of the people he thought he needed to get this thing going, and he got buy-in from everybody, because
right.
this was supposed to be a nonprofit, just like Terry. He put a lot of his own money into this thing, but we sat around, we talked about entity structure, there was a CPA there who was going to do the taxation, we all worked together, we were able to get this thing organized before we did anything,
right.
And I think that's the key. You have to get this thing planned out before you start running.
You only have one chance to make a first impression.
Boy, I'll say.
Right? So, and people remember, especially in this town, right? So, yeah, I remember there was an advisor that was around the building early in the early days, and she had an event that was a complete train wreck. So basically, she moved. I mean, it was just like, I felt bad for her. She's like, big thoughts, poor execution.
You know, and this is another thing too. I think everybody should really, really think. The people that think this stuff up have a certain personality type. The people who actually get it done are completely different.
Right.
And what you need to do as the guy who's thinking it up is surround yourself with those people that can actually get something done, because you can't. And it isn't that you don't have talent. It's just, it's not who you are.
It's not your wheelhouse. So, nope. Yes, we call it stay in your row. Stay in your row. So, yeah,
so
in fact, what I'd say is the number one thing would just begin with the end in mind. And so, you know, when this thing, after 25 years and all the rest of it, and you want to unwind it, or you want to sell it, to make sure you don't, you know, a lot of times the contracts aren't in place. And because oftentimes entrepreneurs, I love them, I'm one too, but you shortcut everything and then that comes back to bite you. So even if you have to shortcut stuff as you're getting going, make sure you kind of have a checklist of where the skeletons are buried so you can, you know, you can get that taken care of. I mentioned this National Tax Conference I was at last week, and one of the things that just bites so many people is state taxation. Different state requirements, sales tax now. If you're selling tangible personal property, basically you have to be collecting sales tax. If you're not, there's these notification requirements that basically say, hey, if you send something to Colorado and you don't collect sales tax, you got to tell your Colorado customer that they have to pay the use tax. And if you don't, now it's a penalty back to you. And it's just it's a whole kind of a brave new world out there. You know, got guests from the wild, wild west, but this is a brave new world on the tax and legal part of that. And so you just got to be on top of that. Otherwise, 25 years down the road, you think you're selling, and then that's what you're talking about, these horror stories, these transactions, significant transactions where people have worked their lives, going to sell the business, they have a buyer, they have cash, but they're like, well, I can't because you've got all these skeletons in your closet.
Or the value goes down.
The value goes down to the point where it doesn't make sense to sell it. So that's where it's like, if you want to help us uncover your skeletons, we do those free one-hour consultations each and every week. 786-4900, make that magic happen, or ping me with an email, mike.bosma@claconnect.com. We can hook you up with either myself or one of our amazing professionals that are all about entrepreneurship, helping your business be successful. What you want to do is if you didn't catch all this show, there's a lot of good content, go to kqh.com or iHeartRadio and pick up the podcast. Subscribe to it. We're getting a lot of traction. This is good content. And also make sure you check my Facebook page. I'll have updates on tax reform, and you want to really stay on top of that if there are things you need to be doing now if it happens. So next week, more advisors, more business. Awesome. We call it Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.